And so I trust you will pray. And I want you to pray that God will use the work of God. Now let me say something. Everything Jesus ever did, he did it for you, and he did it for me. When Jesus came to the world, he didn't come for himself. He made the world. He had it. He owned it. But I'll tell you why it came. It came for you, and it came for me. And everything that Jesus did while he was here, brother, he did it for me. Everything that he did it for you. And I believe tonight, if you'll pray, God will bless your heart. I'm going to bring you a message tonight, one of the seven messages that I have on the Lord Jesus Christ and the highlight of his life. I want you to turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 21. And I'm going to have you to stand in a moment. We're going to read this. And then I'm going to bring you the message tonight. I want you to pray. I believe if you'll pray, God will bless your heart. I want you to turn with me, please. Let's all look in Matthew 21 and verse 9. Matthew 21 and verse 9. I believe if you'll turn, I believe that the Lord will bless your heart. That's Matthew chapter 21 and verse 9. We're going to read tonight together from the Word of the Lord. I believe you're having a little trouble back there. You getting it, Brother Gregory? You getting it all right? All right. Matthew 21 and verse 9. Now, I want you to stand with me. Let's reverence the reading of the Word of God. I want to get right in the message tonight. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 9. The Bible said, "And the multitudes that went before, that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna." Now, I want you to notice that word, Hosanna. I'm coming back to it after a while. "To the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, I'll show you later on that Hosanna is a New Testament or an Old Testament word, and Hallelujah is a New Testament word. But most people don't know anything about Hallelujah anymore. Why, now, as a kid, you'd hear Hallelujah all over the congregation. If I got off the airplane tonight in Tokyo and said Hallelujah, they'd know what I was talking about. If I got off an airplane tonight in Spain and said Hallelujah, they'd know what I was talking about. But if I went to some of the Baptist churches in North Georgia and hollered Hallelujah, it'd be strange language. Amen? Say amen. They don't understand it. But Hallelujah is a New Testament word that we'll use when we see him. And then Hosanna is an Old Testament word brought over into the New Testament. Now listen to what it said. Hosanna in the highest, the latter part of verse 9. "And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?" Boy, they all came out and said, "Who is this fellow riding that little beast? Who is he there?" And then the scripture said, "In all, and the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." I want you to notice before you're seated tonight, the Bible said, "And the multitude went before and followed Christ, saying, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." I want you to be seated now all over the house, if you will. I want you to bow your heads for just a word of prayer. And while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, in just a moment, I'm going to bring you the message tonight. But I want you to pray. There's some people here lost. There's some people here tonight that no doubt are out of fellowship with God. There are people in this auditorium tonight that need a fresh touch of heaven. My friend, I'm sure that some of you tonight already God's spoken to your heart in the singing or in the quoting of those scriptures. But I want to ask you something. Would you ask God to turn the fresh light of heaven on you? And would you ask God to meet your need according to what God sees your need is? Now, you may think you have a need, but God may see another need in your life. And so I want to bring you a message tonight out of the Word of God. And I want you to pray that God will meet your need. Father, I want to thank you for this night. Oh, Lord, I'm glad you found a little handful of clay and you picked it up. And thank God, the great potter. What a joy, what a privilege it is to know that when we were nothing, that you took clay and made us. And we've been made in the image of your Son by the second birth and been conformed daily so that when we see him, praise God, we shall be like him. I thank you for that process of growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you tonight for every blessing already that we received in the service. Now, Father, bless Brother Sammy. Bless the camp. Bless the church. And Lord, as we come to preach tonight, I pray the sweet Spirit of God shall so speak to our hearts until every soul shall be blessed. And we'll thank you and we'll bless you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, tonight I want to speak to you on the topic why Jesus rode that little donkey into Jerusalem. Now somebody said, why? Well, let me say, any time you come to preach about Jesus, whether you're preaching about his virgin birth, or whether you're preaching about his sinless life, or whether you're preaching about his death on Calvary, his substitutionary death, or you're preaching on his resurrection or his ascension, any time you're preaching about the Lord Jesus, an aspect of his ministry, it's always a blessing. And I've never preached on why Jesus rode that little donkey into Jerusalem. But tonight, I want you to see him. He starts up in a little village, gets on that donkey, rides down the Mount of Olives, comes across the Garden of Gethsemane, goes across that little Kidron Brook, and then into the Eastern Gate, at the east side of Jerusalem. And as he rides that little donkey into that city, 1.5 million Jews had lined the streets to see him. And somebody said, preacher, why did he come in there? I want you to notice, as Jesus rode that donkey in Jerusalem, there are three things I want you to notice by introduction. First of all, it was Palm Sunday. Many Sundays that we observe are not scriptural, but this was Sunday before Easter Sunday. The Bible said in John 12 and verse 13, and they took palm branches, and they hailed and waved those branches. Brother, it was called Palm Sunday. What a beautiful Sunday it was, 7 days before his resurrection. The second thing I want you to notice, it was his popular hour. It was the only hour that my Lord ever had that was popular. He was despised and rejected of men. Brother, the Lord Jesus, they didn't love him when he was born. They loved him, my friend, when he was crucified. I want to tell you, he had 1 hour of popularity, and I want you to see him riding that little donkey, and they cry for Santa. It was the only popular hour he knew, and I want to say this tonight, if the church is doing what it ought to do, and the preacher's standing where he ought to stand, brother, we'll not be popular in this day in which we live. It's never been popular to take a stand for God, and the Bible, and the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, it was his Palm Sunday. Secondly, it was his popular hour. And number three, it was his prelude to the last week on earth. You say, what do you mean prelude? It was the prelude to four things. The last 6 days, it was the prelude first, my friends, of that last supper, because he was to go yonder and take off that donkey, and he was to institute the Lord's Supper. Oh, I tell you something, I just rejoice in the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us that it's the bread and it's the cup. And when you come to take of that bread and take of that cup, your communion with him is sweet. And my friend, you become a partaker of his body and his blood. And if I have time tonight, I talk about the Lord's Supper. He said, do this and think of the past of what it cost me. Do this and examine yourself. And do this till I come. Look forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this coming in Jerusalem was the prelude to the Last Supper. Secondly, it was the prelude to when he was going to lie on his face in a garden called Gethsemane. Nobody will know till we get to heaven what Jesus went through there, lying on a stone, lying on a crown. But the Bible said, he said, oh Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I want to tell you this, sir, you may have a garden of Gethsemane in your own life. You may have that lonely hour when your soul is exceedingly sorrowful. But the Bible said, lying on the ground, no doubt, and praying, not my will, but that will be done. Not only was it a prelude to the Last Supper, lying on the ground, but number three, it was a prelude to the laughing and the mockery of Pilate's judgment call. They jerked out his beard. They spat on the Son of God. Let me tell you something, mister. They laughed at him. They laughed at him. And if they laughed at him, they'll laugh at you. They'll make fun of you. I want you to know I don't want to be. I don't want to be popular. I want the world to laugh at me. It was a prelude to the laughing and the scoffing. mocking of that judgment hall. But number four, it was a prelude to the lonely hill called Calvary, where he was going to hang there between two thieves, and his father would turn his back on him. Oh, you say, Preacher Mays, what about Jesus riding that donkey in Jerusalem? He rode that donkey in Jerusalem for six reasons. If you have your pencils, you can write them down. Number one, because of the sure word of prophecy. I want to tell you, Mr. 500 years before Jesus Christ rode that donkey into Jerusalem, Zechariah picked up that trumpet of prophecy. And it's in the ninth chapter and the ninth verse. Listen to what Zechariah said. The daughters of Zion, rejoice greatly and shout, for your king cometh riding on a lowly ass, and he's just and having salvation. Did you know that that was prophesied 500 years before Jesus came into Jerusalem? The daughters of Jerusalem cut their hands and said, bless God, the prophet said one day the Lord's going to ride in Jerusalem as a sure word of prophecy. Did you know that one-third of your Bible was written in prophecy? I want to tell you something. It's a sure prophecy. I'm telling you, this Bible is going to be fulfilled. Every jot and every tittle. Somebody said, Preacher, you believe all of it's going to be, I believe all of it's going to be fulfilled about the saints. Brother, you wait until God gets through with us. We're not through yet, and God's not through with us. About the child of God, and the saint of God's going to see through. And then to the sinner, every prophecy that God prophesied about that poor old sinner, it shall be fulfilled. And then every prophecy about the Savior. Oh, let me tell you something. I get to reading about someday. Boys, when he comes back the second time, woo, praise God, I want to tell you something. He's not coming back, listen to me, riding a lowly donkey. He's coming back a second time, riding a white stallion, praise God, in power and victory. And somebody said, hey, Peter, because of the sure word of prophecy, Jesus had to ride that donkey into Jerusalem. You see him riding in that day? This is what the Bible said in verse 10 of chapter 21. They said, who is this? Who is this? Now, I wish I had an iron and a half right here, and I'll tell you a little about who he was. He was Abel's lamb. Can't you see Abel taking a little lamb up there that day? And he said, what am I going to do about him? And I was hearing him say, oh, that's going to be a Samson. One day filled with blood, gone from Emmanuel's veins. And still plunged beneath that blood, a loose all their guilty stain. I want to tell you something. Who is this riding that little donkey? I want to tell you who he is. My friend, he was Abel's lamb. Secondly, he was the ark that Noah built. I'm glad I'm on the inside looking out. Woo! Praise God. The Bible said he had three stories. The Bible said he was pitched within and pitched without. The Bible said he had one window and one door. No wonder they said, who is this? I'll tell you who this is. Praise God. This is Aaron's rod that budded. Praise God. This is the rock that was smitten. This is the water that never runs dry. And somebody said, oh, listen to me. Why did Jesus ride that little donkey that day in Jerusalem? Because of the sure word of prophecy and every word that God spoke about his son. Let me show you something tonight. Somebody said, Preacher, Jesus died. What if he died going up that mountain, that cross in the back? You're going to hell. Somebody said, oh, brother, what if Jesus had died? Oh, when they scourged his back and put a crown of thorns on it, you'd have gone to hell. Because 1 Corinthians 15 says that he's got to die according to the scriptures. And brother, he had to die according to the scriptures. He had to be buried according to the scriptures. He had to rise on the third day according to the scriptures. Jesus Christ could not stay in that grave 2 days and come up, or 4 days and come up the fifth. He had a schedule to keep. And the Bible says that he had to stay in that grave 3 days. And brother, on that first Easter morning, praise God, he got up. And somebody said, why? Because prophecy had prophesied had. And so that's the first reason that Jesus rode that donkey in Jerusalem. A sure word of prophecy. The second reason he rode that donkey to show forth his lordship. I want to tell you something. You don't hear much about him being Lord, but I'm glad he is Lord. Woo! Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He's already Lord. I don't believe he can be saved unless he's Lord. Every verse that tells you about salvation, to call upon the Lord, believe on the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this to you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, to this end, Christ died and was buried and was revived, that he might be the Lord of the living and the Lord of the dead. Brother, he's Lord of everybody alive, and he's Lord of everybody out front in that cemetery. And I'm glad that he rode that donkey in Jerusalem. Praise God to show forth his lordship. I never will forget my daddy died. I called my son 3,000 miles away. And boy, I told him, I said, Lord, your granddaddy died. He's out in California, 3,000 miles away. It got quiet. I was wondering what he's going to tell me. You know what he said? He kind of let a little silence go on that phone, and he said, Daddy, he's the Lord of the living, and he's the Lord of the dead. And praise God, you know what I did? And I walked away from my daddy's grave the next day. I turned around and said, Daddy, he's the Lord of the living, and he's the Lord of the dead. Let me tell you something, Jesus Christ went in to Jerusalem on that donkey. That he could have gone in on a glory cloud and a golden chariot, but he went in on that donkey that he might show forth his lordship. Two scriptures, and I'll have to go on. Matthew 21 and verse 2, Jesus told him disciples where to go, and said, you'll find a road coming like this. You'll find a donkey and a baby there. And said, you go get that beast, and you start a bass to bring that little beast to me, and somebody's going to ask you, who wants that beast, and what right you have to that beast? Did you know that Jesus knew somebody that asked him, that shows his lordship? He didn't have to go up there. He said, they're going to ask you. And when they ask you, who has need of him? All you got to do is say, the Lord has need of him. And praise God, there won't be any discussion. That'll settle the question. Brother, I'm glad that the Lord had need of him. And God, my friend, sent Christ that he might be Lord. And then he said, you bring him down here. Now, Mark 11 and verse 2 says something about that donkey that shows forth his lordship. Listen to what it said. It said no man had ever sat on that donkey. I mean, he is as wild as they come. But you know what happened? Woo! Praise God. They took some clothes and clothes on him. I don't believe that old donkey twisted his ear this way or twisted it that way. I believe he stood in attention. And I believe he bowed to the lordship of the Son of God. And Jesus got upon that donkey and rode that donkey in Jerusalem. Let me say this to you tonight. He went into Jerusalem on that donkey to show forth his lordship. Let me show you. Every animal, every bird, every beast recognized the lordship of God and Christ. You say, I don't believe that. Let me show you something. There's a big old fish one day. He's flying, he's swimming around, and God said to him, said, hey, you. I prepared you for a special job. Yes, sir. What do you want me to do, Lord? Said, I got a backslidden Baptist preacher going west, and I'm going to go east. I said, what I want you to do? I want you to go over and swallow that preacher and keep him down till he cries, my soul has fainted within me, and then throw him upon the water and upon the land. And boy, I don't believe that fish did but one thing. He's waiting on old Jonah. He said, I got a job. The Lord told me to swallow that preacher. They're going to pull him. Come on, boy. I'm waiting on you. And that old fish waited. After a while, here comes that preacher. That fish said, I got him, Lord. I got him. And brother, that fish took him to the bottom. Listen to me. There's a preacher one day riding a donkey and said, I'm going down to curse God's people. And I'm going to tell these people that God's curse is on Israel. Well, let me stop long enough to say this. God told Abram, I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. And any nation, and any peoples that curses Israel, We'll be on the curse of God Almighty. Now watch this. Every nation in the end, you come Sunday afternoon, every nation, including the United States, will turn against Israel. But God's still on her side, and it's not being for us. Bless God, who can... Said, turn your ears back and turn your head around and say, have I not been your donkey all these years? And his old Balaam, he's stubborn and he wouldn't recognize the lordship. And about that time, that donkey laid her ears back, turned her head around and said, have I not been your donkey all these years? And he tells you something. I don't know how fast that donkey could have run, but if I'd have been Balaam, I'd have been in the town. Praise God. I want to tell you something. I said, hey, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's Lord. I heard you singing or playing a while ago. Some call him Jesus, but I call him Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, if preachers would preach the Lordship of Christ, if preachers would preach the Lordship of Christ, what a blessing it'd be in our churches. You know, the Lord tells you how to live, tells you how to dress. Your Lord tells you when to come in, when to go out. Your Lord tells you how to look. Your Lord tells you how to talk. Your Lord tells you how to think. And we need to preach the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. One other little animal. And he got him a good roosting place that night. And he's sitting there. And the Lord said, I got a preacher that needs a good sermon on repentance. And that little rooster shook his head. And the Lord said, I'm going to let you do the best preaching on repentance that any preacher's ever done around Jerusalem. And the Lord said, now you call when I pay the girl. Can't you see that little rooster, brother? He stretches out them little wings. And the Lord said, not yet. Put them wings back down. And then that little rooster sticks that little neck up and stretches that neck. And gets and that Lord said, put that neck back down. I ain't ready yet. And boy, after a while, the Lord said, rooster! It's time to do a little crowing. Boy, he puts him wings out and throws that little neck out. You never heard such crowing in your life. And then old Simon Peter remembered the word. And brother, he went out and wept bitterly. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm glad that when Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem, brother, first of all, he rode that donkey in Jerusalem for the cause of the sure word of prophecy to show forth his lordship. Number three, to be sold about friend for 30 pieces of silver. Let me tell you something. It wouldn't have been so bad if a crook from Jerusalem had sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and stabbed the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, Jesus was sold by one of the 12. He wasn't sold by the one that was going to drive that spike in his hand. He wasn't sold by the one that's going to drive that spike in his feet. Let me tell you who he's sold by. He's sold by a man. Oh, that heard him pray. Oh, I never hear him pray. Oh, I never heard him bow prayer on that mountain and pray. Last year I slipped away from the crowd that was with me in Jerusalem. Boy, I went out there and I said, Lord, I ain't never heard you pray. But I said, I'm glad. I'm praying the same spot where you prayed. Oh, you listen. I never heard him preach. But Judas heard him preach. I never saw him take his hands and cleanse the leper. I never saw him raise the dead. But Judas did. And he wrote that little talk in Jerusalem to be sold by a friend for 30 pieces of silver and 30 shekels of shame. And there are preachers and denominations and churches that are selling Jesus for less than 30 pieces of silver and 30 shekels of shame. Boy, let me show you something. Okay, you know why I say compromise? Many reasons, but I won't take them. When I had 19 preachers laid their hands on my head that morning, I ordained the Calvary Baptist Church up home. The basket was full. The auditorium was full. There's an old preacher there, Brother Bob. And he's a crippled fellow. His name is Corn. And boy, I'll never forget. I called him and had him to come. He never owned a car. I never had a home. He preached all over that country. And boy, he was the last one to come and lay his hands on my head. And I heard him dragging that old foot. And boy, he dragged that old foot over there that morning. Reached down, put his hands on my head. I was just a little young boy. He said, Mase, if I thought you'd ever betray the Lord and turn your back on old time religion, he said, Mase, I've never laid my hands on you. I want to tell you something. He said, I'm going to breathe upon you the Holy Ghost. Something hit the top of my head with come out my toes. You say, I don't believe that. You don't know you wasn't there. Say amen. Bless God. I was the one that got the blessing of God that day. And God filled me. And God thrilled me. And I kissed that old carpet. heart. And I said, by your grace, I'm going to preach it as it is. Some men that say, oh, I'll be a friend of Jesus. And brother, listen, we got too many deacons and too many choir members and too many preachers that are not a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a friend. He said, you're my friend if you do whatsoever I tell you to do. Whatever I command you to do, you be my friend. Now you watch this. When they came to get Jesus, Judas did in the garden. Boy, you think I have patient and kind he was. Oh, he just got Jesus in. When Judas kissed him, listen to what he said. He said, friend, friend! But Judas had come to sell him. And Judas had come to turn him over to his enemies. Let me say this. There are two things we learn from this story tonight. Number one, you can be religious but lost. You can hear all kind of singing. And you can be around praying. And you can be around preaching. And die and go to hell. Let me tell you something. If you're not born again and saved by the grace of God and of the blood of Jesus, you can be a Judas and die and go to hell. The second thing we learn about this, your friends sometimes turn against you. Well, let me tell you something. I've had a lot of people turn against me, but I ain't ever turned against one of my friends. Boy, I'll stand with my friends. And you might hear a lot of things that on Brother Mays, but you'll never hear me talking about people, running people down. Well, I remember old Guy Rainwater took that little Indian finger one day, 20-something years ago, when I held the first meeting in Atlanta, Georgia, for Guy Rainwater. And I've held 23. If the Lord lets me live to July, it'll be my 24th one. Listen to me. That little Indian held up that finger, and he said, Mays, this finger has never blistered a man of God. Oh, said Mays, this finger has never blistered a man of God. And I looked at that, and I said, Lord, I want to stand with my friends. Oh, I don't want to stop my friends. I don't want to sell my friends. Listen to me. The saddest day, you wake up one of these nights, and you'll say, how could that friend betray me? And boy, how could that friend stab me in the back? Oh, you say, Brother Mays, it'd be awful to have my friend to turn against me. You preachers, listen to me. You'll have some so-called friends to stab you, and they'll turn against you. But you know what that'll do for you? That'll make you look up and say, what a friend I have in Jesus. Oh, he's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. I want you to know tonight, Jesus rode that donkey in Jerusalem to be sold by a friend. Number four, Jesus rode that donkey in Jerusalem to sacrifice himself for our sins. Oh, praise God. Listen to me. They used to go to preach wood, and they'd get the sheep, and they'd get the lamb, and they'd get the turtle dove, and they'd bring them in. And they'd come before the sacrifices, and they'd say, we're going to go to the temple and sacrifice to our God. But I want to tell you something that day, when that Eastern gate opened, and wait a minute, it's closed tonight. But bless God, it's going to open up again one of these mornings. And some morning, prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rise in. Through the Eastern gate, it's called beautiful. And for 800 years, that gate's been closed. I stood there last year and again. I said to the guide, I said, won't you open that gate? He said, we are. I said, you are, yes. I said, you'll never open it, but I said, when Jesus' feet step down on Mount Olivet, two things are going to happen. That mountain's going to split wide open. Woo! And the Bible said water's going to come out of there. And then Jesus is going through that Eastern gate. And praise God, he's going to open up. For the King is coming through the Eastern gate. Call beautiful. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Now you watch this. In the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews, listen to me. In beginning with verse 25 through verse 28, you have three appearances of our Lord. You have his first appearing as a sacrifice to put away our sins. And that's what I want to talk to you about this minute. The Bible said it's the end of the world. To this end of the world, Christ came to put away our sins in a sacrifice of himself. You say, brother, listen, Jesus didn't ride that donkey that day and have a little goat that and say, I've got a sacrifice for this sin. As Jesus rode that donkey in Jerusalem, he didn't have a power left. But he said, I'm your sacrifice. Praise God, I'm going to Calvary. I'll die in your place. I'm the sacrifice to put away your sin. And brother, listen to me. Isaiah said, and the iniquity of us all was placed on him. I don't understand that.
I don't understand how all of it could be, but it was. Won't you see him going in? Listen, Hebrews chapter 9 said, he now appears as our intercessor, and he shall appear the second time unto those that look for him. Glory to God. But listen to me. That day when he came on that little donkey in Jerusalem, he appeared in the last. Listen, the Bible said to put away sin, to sacrifice himself. Let me tell you something. He didn't have no sacrifice but himself. Oh, if that don't bless you, there's something wrong with you tonight. He said, I got a hand, I'm going to give it to me. I got a foot, I'm going to give it to me. I'm going to give it to me. And brother, when he wrote that book in Jerusalem, he wrote it in there, my friend, to sacrifice himself, not to sacrifice something else, but to sacrifice himself. When he wrote that book in Jerusalem, let me show you something that just blessed my heart. He came into Jerusalem to be a sacrifice for our sins. They stood there and cried, Hosanna. I'll show you what it meant in just a moment. But they didn't know really why Jesus was coming in Jerusalem. You see, in about 3 days, they're going to crucify him. They're screaming, Hallelujah! But they're going to turn to crucify him. He's going to die. And I believe he died on Wednesday myself. I don't believe he died on Friday. I believe he died on Wednesday. And brother, if he rode that little donkey in Jerusalem, he came as himself. Let me go back just a minute. In Genesis chapter 22, the Bible said, and Abraham started up that mountain that morning. And Abraham had a knife in one hand and fire in the other hand. And Isaac had the wood on his back. And they started up that mountain that morning. And brother, that's a dark day for Abraham. You know, he's 100 years old. His steps might have been feeble. But as he started up that mountain that morning, he turned around and that little old boy said, Papa, Papa! He said, Yes, what is it, Isaac? He said, The knife's in one hand and the fire's in the other hand. Papa! The wood's on my back. But where is the ram or the lamb for the burnt sacrifice offering? And then here's one of the greatest prophetic announcements in the Bible. Abram looked down at that little boy or that lad and he said, Son! God will provide himself. He'll become your lamb. He'll come down here. God will come. And God will be the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And when Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem, Paul said, he appeared to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's what he came to do, to die. You see, I'm his for two reasons. He created me. He made me, and then he bought me with his precious blood. Oh, you say, Brother Lee's, I'm glad he bought my soul at Calvary. I'm his for two reasons. Years ago, little place for life for North Carolina. Little boy had a boat. I mean, he made it with his own hands. He made the first little boat you ever saw in your life. He made a boat that was outstanding. He loved boats. He took it out in the French Broad River. If you've ever been to Brother Sexton's church, you'd go across that river to go to Asheville. And he got to playing with that boat, and the boat got away and went down the river. And 3 weeks passed by, and the little boy couldn't find his boat. But another man, a man had found that boat and took it up there to a pawn shop on Patton Avenue. Said to the man, how much you give me for this boat? I found it down in the river in some place. And the man looked at him and said, I'll give you $0.50. He said, put it back there in the window. I want everybody to see it. 3 weeks after the little boy lost his boat, he's walking with his mom on Saturday, walking down Patton Avenue, and he looked up in that window and said, hey, Mama, Mama, there's my boat. And she said, well, honey, are you sure? He said, yeah. You see, I remember when I put that stuff. Mama, I remember when I put that. Mama, I remember. You see that? I put that on that. That's my boat. He said, go and ask him if you can have it. And the little boy went in and said, mister, you own this door? He said, yes, sir. I own it. What do you want, son? He said, you've got my boat out there in that window. He said, I'm sorry. I gave 50 cents for that boat. And I can't let it go for less than 75. And if you want it, you have to pay me 75 cents. The mother walked up and said, don't worry, honey. Take this 75 cents and give it to him. That's back when times were hard. And so the little boy took the 3/4 and handed it to the man. The man reached in, got the little boat. The little boy put the boat on his arm, walked out, and started crying, and reached over and rubbed it and said, boat, you're mine for two reasons. First, I made you, now I bought you, and you're mine. Praise God. I want to tell you something. I'm here for two reasons. Brother, he made me. And that day when he went into Jerusalem, he went into Jerusalem to sacrifice himself for my sin and your sin. Number five, listen to me. He went in on that donkey to take the sting out of this. Glory to God, aren't you glad? I'm glad Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. You hear me? I'm glad he that believeth on him, though he's dead, yet shall he live again. Revelation 1 says, Jesus Christ came out, my friend, and said, I'm he that was dead, but am alive evermore. And thank God he's got the keys of death and hell. And Jesus rode that donkey in Jerusalem that he might take the sting out of death. Listen to me. Paul was writing a letter to Corinth, the first epistle he wrote to the little, I mean, you talk about a church mixed up. You know that first tone the church was wrong? I wish I had time to give you, what's wrong with that bunch of carnals, little babies over there that majored on the minors and minors on the majors, really. But it says in this great book, he said, God, where is your king? Oh, God, where is your king? Thanks be to God that gives us the gift through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, preacher, what happened when Jesus rode that donkey in Jerusalem? Why did he go? He went in there to take the sting out of death. And on that first Easter morning, he got up in that tomb, got death around the throat, and squeezed him so his tongue stuck out in hard cat's throat. And he said, I got his finger. And I'm glad, praise God, that the Lord Jesus Christ rode that donkey in Jerusalem to take the sting out of death. What a blessing. I have a boy named Lowell. I think I told you about him. Years ago, we were down in Columbia, South Carolina. Boy, hot down there. Brother Stanley's been meeting, and he knows how hot Columbia is. That's the hottest place you'll ever get. I mean, around here. If you don't repent, of course, you're going to a hotter place. Say amen. Like that, you know it. But Columbia's hot. Boy, we had one little boy, and I will forget it. Doc went in a preacher's department store. You know what that is, don't you, Brother Mayo? That's a 5 and 10 cent store. And she went in that, and I was sitting out front of the car. Boy, it's hot. And I don't know why. You'll forgive me. I'm going to tell you what I had in my car. I don't use a cash, but I had a broad little hymnal. And I guess God will forgive me. Quit looking funny at that, brother. But I had a broad little hymnal lying right there. Now, I'm not like some of you singers. Now, I don't sing. So therefore, I don't bring songbooks to me to church. I've seen folks come to church with 9 songbooks on there, and the song you say, brother, are you going to sing? I didn't come prepared or expecting it. Well, why did you bring 9 songbooks, brother, if you didn't come with it? Oh, to sing! Why did you bring all of them? Boy, I was sitting there that day, and I said, Lord, be still, buddy. And I rode both dragged down that old Mercury car you had. And man, it's hot. And Lord, was it wiggling and twitching? I said, Lord, can't you be still? It's bad enough to sit out here in this heat, wait on your mother. I said, she'll turn over everything in the store and then buy the first thing she turned over. Say amen there, Jimmy. God bless your heart. Amen? Well, listen to me. I was out there, boy, I was just going through it. I mean, I was sweating, it's dropping off. And finally, I said, Lord, will you be still? And a big old bee said, hit that windshield and said, zzz. I said, Lord. And she said, I'm going to get him. I said, go ahead. That'll be one thing. Bless God, you let go of. I said, you'll let go of that when you get stung. I said, you'll be sorry you grabbed that. And that little bee went up and down the windshield. Zzz, 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 zzz. And that little boy of mine said, and he said, his mistress, and finally, did you know what happened? It lit down on the deck. I said, ho, 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 ho. I said, I knew this bulb of him was good for something. And brother, I took that old bulb of him, I hit that knee of nice and lit, and I knocked his core in his stinger. It didn't hurt him a bit. Just got his stinger in his core. Now I reached down, got that thing by the legs, and listen to me. Listen, now watch this. You young people, watch this. He still had his little thing going. I mean, he looked terrible. I mean, awful. Listen to me. And he still had his little wings. And I had his feet go. And my boy said, I said, just a minute now. Just a minute. And I said, you don't have to worry now. I said, your daddy got his finger out. And I handed that little old boy that bee, and he held it in his hand and then opened his hand and he flew away. I jumped out of the car and said, friend of mine over there said, what are you hollering about? I said, 1900 years ago, Jesus reached over in there and asked him, and squeezed his finger out and said, Jesus, oh, yeah!
Thanks be unto God. He wrote that donkey in Jerusalem to take the sting out of death. Now, here's the last thing quickly. Number six, he wrote that donkey in Jerusalem to save us. Now, listen what the Bible says. They cried, Hosanna. When you get home tonight, if you look up the word Hosanna in your dictionary, you know what it says? Save thy people. Save thy people. And when they saw him coming in, they were crying, save thy people. It says in Matthew that he came to save his people. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Listen, Luke 19:10 says, and Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And when Jesus rode that little donkey in Jerusalem that day, they said, save us. Save us! Hosanna! Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They said, Hosanna three times. Hosanna. They were crying, save us. Save us. Save us. And that's why he came, brother, down to this world. Went into Jerusalem. Died on a cross. Raised the third day. Listen, he came to save us. And what a blessing it is to know that Jesus came to save us. Now listen to this. Up in Asheville every year we have a big jubilee the week before Labor Day. And I mean, it's a shouting time. Amen, Sister Norman. You know, Brother Dunn. Well, we have a time. Our old Billy Kettle leading that singing. We just have a good time. But every year, for the last 5 years, that's one of the best friends I ever had. Lived in Canton, Georgia. One of the best friends that Mae Jackson ever had on the face of this earth lived in Canton, Georgia. And his name was Carl Smithwick. And the other morning, I was in Florida in a meeting. And they called my house and said, Carl went home to be with Jesus. And boy, I was there in Florida when I got the news. And I said, he won't suffer anymore. Carl won't suffer anymore. But you listen, for 28 years, he was warden of the largest county jail in the world, the Fulton County Jail. Now watch this. And boy, old Carl, I used to go out and preach, and I had time. I was around Atlanta Cross State. I'm going to line you up and make sure you're going to preach Sunday morning in jail. Now, I like to preach in jail. Don't bother me to preach in jail. Go out there and my boy that's going to be here tomorrow at Newton Park, my son, brought the quartet down here. I saw him come in. I said, come here, Nolan. I said, you get that quartet back there and get on your knees and get God on y'all. I said, you may go in some of these old backslidden Baptist churches and fool them, but I said, these prisoners know where you got God on you. And I said, get back there and get gone. And boy, they came out there juicy. I mean, it's right. And boy, they got up there and all them old prisoners sitting out there in that place was packed and just volunteering. You didn't have to come. I mean, they're standing around the walls. And they got to singing. And boy, Nolan said, now before Dad comes to the message, we're going to sing another song. And when they got through singing, one from the back raised his hand and said, Mr. Johnson? And my son said, yes, sir. He said, do you know Father Long? We know more about it. And he said, yeah, we'll sing you one stanza of Father Long. And so they sang one stanza of Father Long, and boy, we got to crying, and I got to preaching. I got to run. I don't ever run up down out. But I was out there with him, preacher. Bless God, I was walking up down out. And I ran back up, and I preached 15 minutes overtime. And I said, Lord, have mercy. I preached 15 minutes overtime. One old fellow over there raised his hand and said, keep on preaching. We ain't going nowhere. And I want to say, brother, it's not right. And heaven came down. That morning, I listened to me. That morning, listen to me. I was walking out. You've been down there on the old door. Back, back. He pushes a button and he's going down after that intersection and he pushes a button, lets you through back another. And I was going down through back, and Carl's behind me. May 20, he's hitting her out. I said, can't help you.